So this evening, I'll break my session into two purposely, to continue the emphasis I began in the morning. And I'm, without trying to be immodest, I believe that if a fellow stays with the practice, ethos, and the culture that is taught in the doctrine of the word as we put out in Saints Community Church, he will have a single-mindedness in serving the Lord. I was telling the guys that were coming together, Kola and Bimbo, when we were coming, I said, if you don't value salvation, you can't value commitment to the gospel. If you don't value salvation, you don't know the import. If salvation is just, or if the gospel you heard is just a sort of problem, you know, you won't see a reason. Maybe you were healed, sick, God healed, there's a problem, was solved. You know, you won't see the reason why there should be so much commitment. Because you wonder, is it not just about people's problems being solved? But when you know the value, the worth of what Christ has done for the whole world, then you know your commitment is worth it. And that's why relating with believers, as it were, what do they call it, born wuru-wuru. If you go and mingle with people like that, they will devalue your values. And then you begin, because anybody you, that hangs around you long enough, you pick up their values. You start thinking like them, you start talking like, unconsciously. And if they don't value, they don't value it. If somebody doesn't value your commitment to the gospel, and lets you know, and you still hang around the person, very soon you start reasoning alike. You have to watch your alliances. 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You have to watch the kind of alliances that you keep. Alliances that will not foster your commitment to the gospel must be kept far away from you. Now quickly, Matthew 28, where we stopped in the morning, verse 18 to 20. I don't know what to title that one. I think I built it around the parable, right? Okay, so whatever, we'll call it something. Yesterday was oil of service. So we don't know whether to call this one the money gospel or the talent gospel. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And then Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then verse 20, teaching them to observe what things soever I commanded you, lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age, the end of the world. And we said, the word there, mathetio, is where you have the word mathetes. Mathetes is a pupil who is learning. And therefore, in that learning, just like you went to school to become something, in the process of discipleship, a whole lot of character formation, value change, a whole lot of values are things that, from things from your culture, from your home, from your background, will have to be dropped along the line. Some things from your background, from your past, even from your educational background, will have to be reformed, some of them totally dropped, because you are learning Christ. Mantano in the Greek, which means to learn by observation and by comprehension. Now, I'd love us to go back to that parable, you know, that we saw, again, Matthew 25 and Luke 19. I'm just going to do an overview. We mentioned the fact that Jesus asks us to value lives like a trader values money. In other words, if the treasures of the kingdom of God is not physical possessions. Matthew 6:19, lay up your treasures in heaven where moth nor rust or thieves will break through into it. And we know that the value of the kingdom of God is not in material things. It's not even in your earthly status or possession. That's why we tell them in Matthew 20:25-26, he said, well, among the Gentiles, they exercise rulership over people, they have dominion, and then they give servitude to them. He said, but it is not so among you, for he that will be chief will be your servant. He that will be chief amongst you, he says, will be your servant. He says, he that will be great will be the one who is serving. The Son of Man has not come to minister to, verse 28, but to minister and become a ransom, give himself a ransom unto many. Those are truths that come in the kingdom of God. You have to clear it in your mind that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of men are at parallel lines or parallel opposite lines that cannot be merged. And so, having said that, we saw that whatever is this value, treasure, which is called talent in Matthew 25, money or pounds in Luke 19. And we said, where is it from? Obviously, when God talks about money, value, he's talking about lives. And God, therefore, will commit lives to me. He'll commit them in twos, in threes, in tens, in multiples. Commit them to me. For what purpose now? For the purpose of growth, for the purpose of discipleship. And so I must value lives. I must value lives. I mustn't see my commitment to Saints Community Church like a club, an association. Like just ordinary, oh, my brethren, my brothers and sisters are here, my cousin is here, my classmate is here, I've been here for years. It's not the issue. You are losing focus. The focus is about lives. That is the treasure. That's the treasure of the kingdom. The treasure of the kingdom, the reason for the kingdom, are men. That's why I must value them. Christ paid with his blood, Acts 20:28. I must value them. That's why I gave you a sequence. Matthew 24, alertness of the coming of Christ. Matthew 25 now talks about the value trading, the trading parable. Then again, Matthew 25 afterwards, you now found treating his brethren well, and so on and so forth. It's then in a sequence of the ministry of the church and the ministry of the believer. Now, one thing I want us to bring out there in the Matthew 25 and 15. He gave 5 talents to another 2 and to another 1, and every man according to his several ability, and straightaway took his journey. In the Luke's rendering, it says in verse 15, to be called unto him to whom he had given money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, in verse 26, I'm just skipping them for a purpose, you know, because of our time. He says, I say unto you that unto which one hath been given, or to which has shall be given, and from that that has not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. 2 things I want us to observe. The first is the issue of ability. In the work of the gospel, we need to realize the ability of the work. The ability, what's the ability in the service? Before I go further, let me just mention that discipleship is characterized, true discipleship is characterized by consistency. Consistency. Long-term commitment to learning, to change, to practice, and to service. That's why in the Luke 9 narrative, Luke 9, I mentioned that in the morning, he points out 3 personalities. One of them said, I want to follow you, Lord, in verse 57. Wherever you go, I will follow. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. So we see at every degree of discipleship or the call of discipleship, there is a call to, let me put it like this, a call of the cost to your comfort. Where are we going to stay? He said, I have nowhere to lay my head. Comfort. The second thing he mentions there, he says, I want to go and bury my parents or my dad, pardon me. He says, well, to let the dead bury the dead, you have to preach the kingdom of God first. That's again emotional, alright? Emotional, sentimental, natural relationships is called to question. He drives it home the more. When he says, let me go and bid farewell to my family, then he says, if you put your hand on the plow, pedal that, and you look back, you are not fit. Which means a critical part of discipleship is continuity, consistency. Let me borrow from Pastor Ladenis' terms in the morning, the afternoon, and let's talk about some things he raised about the kinds of discipleship. Some of them were night disciples, like Nicodemus in John 3, who came to Jesus by night. And then he says, oh, master, rabbi, no man, that the teacher come from God, for no man doeth these miracles, verse 2, except God be with him. We found another one in Luke 9:49. They found him casting out demons, and he said, he does not follow us. Two. One, he comes at night. The other one, they don't even see him at all. Jesus said, don't bother your head. If he is not against us, then do not forbid him. In verse 50. So, we have such, I mean, different kinds. There were those in John 6 and 67. As soon as he said to them, it's not about bread and fish, it's not about physical things, it's about the words I speak to you. And then he said they walked away and didn't follow him again. John 6:67, and they were disciples. And then there were those who said, to whom shall we go? For we have only found with you the words of eternal life. But what you find out is that of all of them, or eventually, by in his resurrection, the disciples were in one place. Acts 1:13, 14, 15. They were in one accord in one place. Acts 2 verse 1. All of them were in one place in one accord. So, which eventually means that people will have to leave that stage of either at night or not too much of total commitment. Because he says here, you have to put your hands on the plow and refuse to look back. So quickly I'll mention one or two things, then we'll get to the core issue of this evening. So we are called to make disciples and then to preach. Mark 16:15 says to go and preach the gospel. Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins will preach in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But we are zeroing in on the Matthew 28, which we have done. Make disciples of every nation. Verse 19. Teaching them. Now, a critical part of what was said, which could easily be lost, you know, I've said it many times, Luke was expansive in telling us what happened in the 40 days of Jesus' interactions with the disciples in Acts 1, 2, and 3, where he says, he spoke to them about the things of the kingdom. Now in Luke 24, follow the narrative. He starts from 25. He met Cleopas and the other fellow. And then he said, oh fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered this and to his glory? Again, that Moses was 27, all the prophets. He expressed them in the scripture the things concerning himself. Of course, after a long while, and then he vanished out of their sight in verse 31, and then they said, did our hearts not burn, verse 32, within us as he opened to us the scriptures. Much later, in verse 37, where he says, touch me, his spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. He said, do you have anything, any meat, any food? They brought him honeycomb, and then he ate it, and fish. And when he was done, He now said to them in verse 44, "For these are the words that I said to you while I was with you, that all things in my food, we are reading the law of Moses, in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Look at the sequence. Verse 45. Then he opened it, they understand that they may understand the scriptures. Verse 46. "And thus it is written that Christ must suffer and then be raised from the dead the third day." Verse 47. "And repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name among all nations." Pay attention. He opened their understanding, they understood scripture. He gave them a commandment to go and preach in 47. Then in 48 he says, "You are witnesses of these things." A witness is someone who will tell you what he has seen. A witness is someone who will bear the evidence of what he is saying. He says, "You are witnesses of these things." Then he says in verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Ex apostello in the Greek. Which means, in my resurrection, in my finished work, in my ascension, I send the promise of my Father upon you. They go together. He says, "Behold," that means look at it, observe it. He said, "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." A critical and vital part of service. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." I send the promise of my Father upon you. The word "upon" is a Greek word that means at you, at your instance, towards you, or something that will be seen from you. Then he says to them, "Till you be endued." The word "endued" is a verb to put on. Enduste in the continuous terms. Enduo. E-N-D-U-O. To wear. The word used in Galatians 3:27, put on Christ. In Romans 13, it says, do not make an occasion to serve the flesh. That should be verse. Romans 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Enduo. Put it on yourself. In other words, when you read the word enduo, it's an active word. You are the one that will put it on yourself. So, part of discipleship training or learning Christ is knowing how to put it on. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8, after they asked him in verse 6, disciples came and said unto him, "When will you at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel?" Jesus answered and said to them, verse 7, "It is not for you, but to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive," verse 8, "power, after which the Holy Ghost is come on you." So if you look at Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:8, they are saying the same thing. You shall receive power. So there are two words in there. Luke 24:49, you will put on. Acts 1:8, you will receive. Enduo and lambano. Lambano means to take. Lambano means to handle. Lambano means to take from. So in the two instances, it says to them, before the art of discipleship, before preaching and teaching, know that the ability of preaching and teaching, the ability of service, the ability of discipleship is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me backtrack again and remind you that this is a statement for a disciple. And so, if a disciple is a student, if a disciple is learning, that means one of the things a disciple learns is how
to put on. One of the things the disciple learns is how to wear. How to put on, how to wear, and also how to receive. You have to learn it. You have to learn it. How to put on, how to receive. You shall receive power. Endued with power from on high. So, a vital element, let me use that phrase, of your walk is the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. So, the preciousness of our walk for the kingdom also demands that we know the ability of that walk. Which means, I will equally, pay attention, I will equally value this ability. I will equally value it. Don't go yet till you be endued. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And let us try and, you know, draw a comparison. Same way that Jesus did nothing till, nothing ministry wise I mean, till John publicly acknowledged that he saw the Spirit of God descend on Jesus and remained. John 1:33 to 34. Then after that baptism of John, he now goes to the wilderness to tell of the devil and comes publicly in Luke 4:18 and found the place where it was written from verse 16 to 17, and he read to them the book of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel or the glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, the opening of the prison to the captives." So, deliverance to the captives, opening of the prison, the doors to the captives. "He has sent me the opening of sight to those who are blind." But notice the element there. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." So, you can draw a comparison by saying to his own disciples, the same way you saw that I did nothing outside the power of the Spirit. Therefore, you will not go in your own strength. A disciple of Christ, a minister of the gospel, must value that preciousness, the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if there's anything you should refer to as what you can call the basis of your ministry life, it should not be different or found outside the power of the Holy Spirit. What it means is this: the walk of the ministry, serving the Lord, is supernatural. Say it means serving the Lord. Say it loud as it declares. Also, serving the Lord is supernatural. That is why it will be of a shame if a brother or a sister tries to win souls, as we say it, tries to have conversions outside the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul, recognizing that in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1, said, "Brother, when I came to you, I came not in the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to the testimony of God. For I determined," verse 2, "not to know anything among you, but Christ and him crucified." He says, "And I was with you in much weakness and trembling and fear. And my preaching and teaching," verse 4, "or my speech and preaching, was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, which is the power of God, 1 Corinthians 2:4, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak this wisdom among them that are mature, not the wisdom of this world. It says, but the hidden wisdom, or we can put it like that, which was hidden for our glory from the foundation of the world. It says, this wisdom is not of this world, for had the princes of this world known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It says, for what things knoweth a man, save the Spirit of man is in him. So therefore, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Say, we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things we don't speak. He says, and we teach, you know, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. Say, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him, he cannot discern them. Because he can't know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See how he tailors his argument. So, but the spiritual man judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. He says, who have not the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He says, we have the mind of Christ. So, this walk is not career. This walk is not going to be because you are beautiful or you are handsome. It's not going to be because you know how to speak very good English. It's not going to be because you are very smart. You have, as they say in the world today, emotional intelligence. No! It's not a game. I tell people, in the business world, I can compete. In the business world, I can contest. In the business world, we can try to match one another. We want to make a proposal, and so on and so forth. Remember one time we tried to bid for something in Mobile, Nigeria. And so, we were calling people around. How much did you quote? They said they quoted this. When they said you are going to supply, we took their information and went behind them. I went to present our own, and we still lost. And we kept bidding, not knowing that they just used our company as just in the bidding process. Until the breakthrough came. The breakthrough now came, we call somebody inside. An Allos Parakletos. So he gave us the information. This is what you need to do. Do so, so and so. And we got the bid. We got the bid accepted. And so on and so forth. That is the world. You cannot, just like if you are in a game and you are playing for a club against another club, you don't say, because I'm a Christian, you know, I won't want to score too many goals. You can't say that. You get it? Or they gave you just go on and on. But when you step into the service of our Master and King, it's as though everything you need to do to succeed in the natural becomes useless. All the competition ceases. All the ways to attract people goes away. All the modes and modus of the way you sell and buy for your company, the way you argue debate in court, the way you go about things disappears. Because it's not the excellency of speech. Now, imagine Paul saying that in Corinth, a confluence town of intellectuals, where he himself was an intellectual. That means he had an ability that he did not use. Paul was a brilliant man. In fact, by my studies and research about Paul, in his days, he could be ranked among the intelligentsia. Very brilliant man. If you see how we tackled them in Mass Hill in Acts 17, you will know that this guy must be brilliant. But let's look at something. He said, when I came, I determined. You know, if he wasn't an intellectual, he wouldn't need to determine anything. That means he got to the point where what he knew would work, he didn't use it. You have to get to that point where you know in the work of the ministry you can't depend on yourself. Your wits. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. So, you must treasure it. You must treasure the work of the Holy Ghost. My first encounter with the Holy Ghost, I heard the gospel, just like you and I. How did I believe? John 16:8. He says he will convince the world of sin because they believe not. 1 Corinthians 2:10. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So the Holy Ghost convinces me by preaching and teaching. I'm indwelt by the Spirit immediately. 1 Corinthians 2:12. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now, according to what we have said about disciples, I must now continue. John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That's why Paul will rebuke them in Galatia. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently set forth crucified among you? Receive you the Spirit by the hearing of the law, by the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Verse 3, you now want to be epitelio. You now want to perform in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, having described the works of the flesh in verse 19, he had told them in verse 16, walk in the Spirit that you not be lust of the flesh. For the Spirit lusts after the flesh, and the flesh after the Spirit, verse 17, and you will not, what you will want to do. He said, but if you are led of the Spirit, verse 18, you are not under the law. The works of the flesh are manifest. He mentions a group of them. I don't need to educate you on that. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, patience, kindness. Against such, recognize of them, there is no law. He says that our Christ have crucified the flesh and the lust and the affections thereof in verse 24. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, that we are born again in the Spirit, then we have to walk, continue like that in the Spirit. Disciples must learn to continue. Say that in the morning. People are excited. Yes, I will follow. Oh my God. The people who came for the first World Changers Conference of their life, and they said, this is the kind of meeting Christians should always come for. If a guy paid his way down, he said, this is missing in the body of Christ. I don't know how far you are going in the body of Christ, but he knows it is missing. I wish the body of Christ has this. And they begin to read out testimonies like sinners. Go and watch most of them. They don't come back the next year. And I'll tell you why. Why would people be given to the things of the Holy Ghost? So people will be passionate, extremely passionate. And it's the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not fake. Power of the Holy Ghost. But, this is it. Discipleship means to continue. Not to start. Merely start. But to continue. Now, let's look at something we mentioned in the morning. We have read, I will follow you wherever you go. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I will follow you. But I want to bury my father. Let the dead bury the dead. You go first and preach the kingdom. I will follow you. But I need to talk to my dad and mom about it and let them bless me and wish me well. He that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Now, the truth of the matter is this. Whether you like it or not, whatever I've read now looks very harsh. In a day and age where people are preaching things like comfort. Comfort, you know, when you serve God, He will do this for you. Or, you know, emotional things. We have to be there for people when they lose their loved ones. Or, there's something about family bonding. If you want to do something successfully, your family must put a seal of approval on it. Oh, crap. Jesus' family actually mocked him. Let's see whether they will believe you. There was no seal of approval. Everything he said, now let me say this to you, this is a bit interesting. Everything he said in Luke 9 was his experience. It is said that by the time he grew up, Joseph was dead. So he knew what he was saying. He had to put that behind him. He had to put it behind him. He had to put comfort behind him. He had to be without the family. There's no boy that hates family support. He had to put it behind him. And he served. Because a disciple will experience what his master experiences. It's a fact. Now, having said that, in Luke 14, he brings out a fundamental thing. Young men have asked me these questions before. I don't lay a claim of any boast. I'm growing, I'm still a very young man, and doing God's will. But I know a few things, and I can tell you. In Luke 14, where he says, in verse 26, if a man comes to me, and hates not father, mother, wife, children, brethren, he says sisters, yea, his own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. He says, whosoever does not bear his cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. Then very critical verse 28. Which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost whether is able to finish it? Take note of that word. Count the cost and finish. Which means, when it comes to discipleship, which I mentioned to you in the morning, it must get to the very end. There is a cost to it. Before I get there, let me reiterate what I said earlier. The ministry is done by the power of the Holy Ghost. Never forget that. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Getting preaching to people to be born again. By the power of the Holy Ghost. You're not depending on yourself, but the power of the Holy Ghost. Because salvation is a man receiving that demonstration of the Spirit, which is the power of God. Now, I've started out, and many of us, excitedly, we saw how you preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. People will get born again. Interesting. And they'll submit their hearts to hear you and be saved. You go out in evangelism. There's this passion of the Holy Ghost you may not even be able to explain. I mean, as a young man, I remember how I would walk. It's the Holy Ghost. I would just walk and be walking miles. Sometimes I used to walk from Alakwaye to Ikorodu. And not Ikorodu. I'm not talking about Lagos Road. I'm talking about Igbogbo. And I walk not once, not twice, in fact, tens of times. And I'll just be walking, praying the Holy Ghost, moving from place to place. At some point, we said to ourselves, myself and a group of guys, we formed then, we called the Royal Family. We said, we're going to preach in every house in Ikorodu. Every house. And I picked out Igbogbo in those days. And I ensured that I entered every house. You know, that's a starting point. It's a starting point. Okay? Oh, we're going to do this. And then I remember one time we met at Star Palace. We were about 8. But eventually 6 of us came. And we said to ourselves, we're going to fast and pray. And take over this place. And we plan what we're going to do. And we met at Star Palace on the road to Bayeku. And we met there, and we prayed, we had fasted, and we sang the song, God of great courage, source of our strength, grant us the spirit of unity, so that we one heart, with one sound of praise, who will glorify you, Lord, all of our days. And we held our hands, and we sang and sang and sang and prayed. That was the last meeting. Yep. Last meeting. We had done a meeting before then, a believers convention where I taught. So I was like discipling them. I would teach them, teach them, teach them, teach them, teach them. We first started in Brother Olubide at his house, at Tulare Estate. The last house very near CAC Wosem. I'm talking like a degree. It was a Thursday. I don't know about that. How we taught and all that. So we're praying. If at the point we say we are going to march for 40 hours and pray in the Holy Ghost day and night, we didn't attempt it. But we say no! Till individuals started having challenges. Because at that point, we were just about to get to the university. People started feeling their work. Or you wanted medicine, you got physiology. Your dad was still telling you how ashamed he is of you. You try to get to university, you got poly. You try poly, you got college of education. Or you got nothing at all. Or they seize your results. So, all our commitment vanished like vapor. I know I didn't usually tell you this side of the story. It's now a lot of years, so I can share it, nobody will be offended. They are now big boys, so they won't feel bad. If I said it some 10 years ago, you'll feel bad. Ah, what's all that? But now nobody's going to feel bad. They don't even need the certificates again. So, commitments disappeared. So I was left alone. We have prayed, we have preached. I remember we invaded one place there in those days, near Ragolis. Goodwill. It was not a school then. Goodwill lesson, tutorial. We invaded the place, did evangelism. So we were set out for glory till individual challenges. In fact, one of us got so furious with his situation that he joined the select church. He came back and said, for me, well, let me tell you the truth. There's power in select, you don't know it. He said, can I get you 4 candles that can change your life? How else can you feel discouraged? After God of great courage, source of our strength. So, and right there in my own family too, my dad was cursing from Mount Ebal. I mean, he will call my mom in my presence. You need to tell me who you had this boy for. Remember the day I ran back to Okoladele? The bad part was that he had a bias for my father. Because when I entered school, my father handed me over to him. And that's the man that now taught us ministry. What a bad example. He was our house master. And so, you tell me, well, you have to, persecution is part of Christianity. I said, I had a sister then, Sister Beatrice and me then. She would just write me and just tell me, you know what? God definitely wants to use you. Use me this way. Do you understand? So there's a price. The price of comfort. The price of emotional support that you will have loved. Because it's strange to me. My grandfather was a prophet. My grandfather on my mother's side was a bishop. Where else you get comfort? Sure. He didn't come. It didn't come from Zion, it didn't come from Sinai. So there's a continuity that is required. And that continuity is where you will now sit down and ask a question. How far am I going? Till money. Till marriage. I remember something that a friend of mine did then.
He said, whether we have money or not, we stake our lives for this. What happened was that we went for a crusade. We come back through Jebode. So the three of us apostles of the Lamb will lap one another. 1, 2. Bodu said, now, because I was the most legalege of all, I sat on them. I sat on the two of them. Huh? So now we enter bus and the crowd said, what's all this? I will do the preachers. He said, men of God, men of God, whether there's money or not, we'll give our lives for this. Life-changing statement. Life-changing statement. Some men will take a long, I used to joke with Brother Oaks. There was a day like that, he walked towards Abeokuta from Ibadan. He walked. I said, no one. He said, how much? I'm just praying in tongues. I said, Kosovo no one in. He said, be in the realm. Turn. But then there's a realm to just walking and praying in tongues. So when you see people like that, give it to prayer. It is hardness that made them prayerful. Long distance, you don't be walking. I like walking. I don't be praying in tongues. Praying till now. I'm not comfortable. I just get down in the car and be walking. Stop praying tongues. Because that is the way it was. No comfort. Nothing of such nature. So, if the ministry is by the power of the Holy Ghost, is there a price? There's a cost to it. People don't just last. They pay a price. Never believe in any message that teaches you service or ministry without a cost is a lie. It doesn't exist anywhere. There is a cost. An interesting part is, even though we may all pay a price, it will differ. My father died. Where do I stay? I need to tell my parents. See, there are different things. But each person will have a price he will pay. This is the place where you have to say grace message. Sometimes someone just look very like, which Bible are they reading? Which Bible are you reading? Say, it's all done. It's a price to pay. The cost. You know, those servants took the talents, took the pounds, and then they were faithful. I told you, faithfulness is loyalty. Adhering to the purpose and the mission. Faithfulness or diligence is every day, I'm there. Choir, I'm there. Prayer meeting, I am there. World General Conference, I am there. Diligence. You can be diligent for 10 years and you're not faithful. Faithfulness is loyalty. Single-mindedness. That's why the word loyalty and faithfulness are from the same Greek word pistis, pistuo. That total abandonment to believe in your heart. So, something you don't believe in totally, you are not faithful for. Do you actually believe that, like we said, use me Lord, to save the whole world? Do you believe that Christ actually died for that purpose? You have to ask yourself. Do you believe it? So, it's a thing of your heart. When I came to full comprehension of the import of the gospel, I was at Okeado College Crescent. The house of my grand aunt, Mrs. Oshifeso. That day I was reading something about Africa. And my uncle was on the next room. And I knelt and I said, Lord, if I'm the only one, I will do this for the rest of my life. There will be nothing I will do that will match this forever. Vital. So,
there is a price to pay. Now, we're going somewhere. Don't forget, we're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Till you be endued power from on high. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon me and he come upon you and you shall witness unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all parts of the earth. Acts 1:8. Hear this. That means the ministry is a supernatural thing. The ministry of the gospel is not motivational speaking. It's not good oratory. The ministry of the gospel is not structure, organization, putting things in place. No! The ministry of the gospel is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the question is, most of us will begin that way. But are you willing to continue? Are you willing to continue and not substitute, like Rehoboam, brass for gold? Are you willing to continue that way? Now watch this. Because as you go on in life, you know, at initial stages, maybe you're on campus, young boys, and you didn't see much. There's a limited level of temptation you will see. Attractions. You are probably going to be used to praying at the chapel, fasting. All your challenges in life is in a classroom, academics. So your money they'll send to you or somebody in your room will give you. So, you know. So, but then within that period is birthed in you supernatural experiences. You pray, have Holy Ghost meetings, you go out, preach the gospel, you will see things happen, you will see called boys get born again, you will have some very wonderful encounters. However, as you proceed further, you will be exposed to alternatives. It's normal. As a young girl, young boy, you said, I will marry someone who is committed to the gospel. You said that within that consecration period. You have not yet been visited by marriage counseling experts. So you didn't have alternatives. Because all you were seeing was fire burning sisters and brothers. You had not seen their allos, no, their heteros. So you just say, everybody's like this. So in your heart, you felt every Christian will fast and pray. Every Christian will study the word. Every Christian will be simply devoted. You know, of course, in these days that you always can boldly be listening to secular music. That there's no Christian that will just be living anyhow. Then you graduated. Then you saw the glory of God. Bible study in school, 4 hours. Bible study in the church you're probably going to attend once a month, 1 hour 30 minutes. What's going on? When are we going for evangelism? They look at you. You think we're on campus? They begin to laugh at you. In fact, I remember somebody said this. He said, please, sir, don't come here. Come and be doing Holy Ghost meeting, glory, and be rejoicing. And he says, look, we have bills to pay. We have school fees to pay. Leave all that one. We want solution to our problem. We don't want somebody that's going to be giving us tongue interpretation. Legra, legra. That's for campus. We need somebody that will tell us 4 keys to attain your best bees. Yeah. If I remember somebody told me, he said, all this is your zeal. It's because you are still young. I give you 5 years. 5 years! You will change! 5 years! He didn't know I counted the cost. I knew. I counted the cost. That's why no matter how close we are, you can never make me backslide. There's nobody born of a woman, even born of that a man. No, I'm not. You don't have that ability. No, you don't. To make me what? You don't have it. No. You don't. You don't have the capacity. You count the cost. Ask a question. What if my best friend departs? What if my husband becomes a Muslim? What if my wife becomes an idol worshiper? It can happen. You cannot take decisions for people. You will count the cost. What if one day, since community church, they stop praying, they stop fasting, they stop playing with the Holy Ghost, they now say, you know what, guys, this is, you know, the Holy Ghost is telling us that, you know, step up in your new ways, in your new ways. Then see, brother, today will just come. Hey, give it up to Jesus, yeah, yeah. You know, and then Pastor Lang will come, everybody just joking and all that. You know what? Remember Lot's wife. For dear life. Don't be so committed that when we lose it, you lose it with us. You are being stupid. There should be nobody, all of a man, or a woman, or both of them, that will have that capacity from where? To make you deviate. You have to have a commitment. Power of the Holy Ghost forever. Do you hear me? Power of the Holy Ghost forever. There's no day. That's why some people have come for us of WCC. They say, you know, I'm just thinking that this kind of conference, can we? There's even one young preacher that told me this. It's small boy. He said, Pastor, you know, I just think that those kind of meetings, the, you know, you are very old school, you know, you don't, I think you can just, some of us were, you know, we can't be in such meetings, you know. He was telling me, I was sitting like this. He said, can't be in such, he said, look at this man of God. He mentioned somebody, he said, when they are doing their ministry, people that are sitting, the young ministers, the way they are, you know, so I think you need to stand in that office God has placed for you. You know, there's a way you are not really doing so. I was looking at him. See, I'm just thinking, you know, I was speaking a lot of grammar. Said, how many days were just in the bush praying and all that. So I'm just thinking, you know, I said, Elga. I said, we received the vision for World Changers Conference. I did, 1996. When were you born? So our first conference was 1998. Go for me. Ojo Ibadan. Where were you? He was not just not saved. That's not the problem. That was not the problem. I said, so you want to come from where? Like I tell many of you in this community church, the only person that was never a first timer is me. I hope you are aware. It's important to always realize that. Okay? Everybody attended membership class. You're the membership class. I taught you. It's to just put things in your remembrance. Lest at any time you drift away. I know you won't forget. So, I told the young man, I said, you know what? That is who we are. We are 60. That's how we'll be doing that. And almost dying under the sun. When we are 70. You know, I was watching as a Wenger. 70 years old. And he played a 40 minutes game. I watched a WF Kumuyi travel around. He's 78 this year. How old are you? You are retiring. You're retiring in prayer. You want sabbatical. 24. Is eternal sabbatical. Anios sabbatical. There's a price. Let it never be said of you that utterances, power gifts, revelation gifts are in those days of your life. Power of God forever. Did you hear me? Power of God forever. Let it never be that you will start doing evangelism creatively. Power of God forever. You will have
to pay the price because the temptations will come.
At some point when we began Fortress Mission, so people started telling us, you know, can't we just do this and do that? I said, never!
I said, we won't do a single academic meeting. Not one. I said, it will never happen. Never.
In fact, I once invited a friend for camp meeting. I bought him for a believer's convention because he was a missionary. Oh, he wanted to be one.
He came, preached fine, I agreed. But I saw the second session, and I didn't give him my word for camp meeting.
I will tell you the year. Some of you know the year.
Ah!
I said, I give you my word. He preached the first session well, mission-mindedness. But the second session, he was speaking nonsense. But I've given him my word.
Ah!
What will I do? Okay, so give him a session for camp meeting. That session was so bad that I was dozing. Carly's camp meeting. I said, ah. So, he was supposed to preach the next session. So I told him, round off. Round off, quickly. Round it off. And I said to myself, that was in the flesh. It shouldn't have come at all. You mustn't compromise for relationships. Power of God forever. Learn to pay the price. It could mean they will invite you. It could mean somebody will not be your friend for some time. It's normal. Mark your spots of commitment and stay there. Mark it and stay there. Let there be no day you will need to fast and pray.
You need to fast and pray.
See the example of Olalele gave. I know what he was saying. He used to lead. I've been in a meeting before. Danny Hall Government College. That he led a song. I can sing the song for you. And the power of God was so strong. A good guy getting healed. I was there. In fact, I think I was telling Brother Danny about that. That's the beauty we are trying to remember. In Agbo, that he was mentioning. I said, up. Yeah. So, if you get to a point, you're now saying that you are now doing talent. You get my point? You are now doing talent. You are now showing off for people. Go and fast. You are losing something. You are no longer relying on the power of the Holy Ghost. You are now using gimmicks. May it never happen, says Community Church, that will be dependent on media, on packaging. Let's do it like this. Let's do the book cover like this. So that people will think like this. Let us never! Our strength is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this. If Coca-Cola is everywhere in the world, CNN is worth more than any Christian station in the world, you don't judge anything by those results. People can make things popular by using the right gimmicks and the right strategies. You ensure that what you are doing is what you were told to do. And be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. As a culture, for almost 25 years or more, for more than that, there is no year I don't fast 90 days. None. It used to be more. Till a doctor told me that I was a step away from Stephen. He said, you will see the glory of God. Because I have done over 260 days. I said, next year, I will fast the whole year. Eh? So, what I do now is, I pick some 30 days in the year. I just run through it. Not for any reason. To maintain that cost. No special meeting with who? I'll fast a month before, sometimes during the meetings. That's how I was raised. No crowd can take that away from me. No TV popularity. No, you're a gift of God to the body. No, never. You must never forget who you were. Remember what Samuel said to Saul? He said, you were little in your eyes when you were picked.
You couldn't do without fasting and prayer. You couldn't do without listening to the word every day. Now you are a man of God. They are inviting you. You are now popular. People are saying, bless you, sir. If you don't know how to handle praises, you are in trouble. People, I told you yesterday, people are just used to praising men. I've never seen your kind before. Wonder, 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 wonder. They say that to you. Don't get carried away. So, you must have a commitment to the power of God. Look at when they were threatened. They returned back to their own company, Acts 2, 23 and 24, and reported all the things that were said to them, and they leaders of God in one accord, and they prayed. They had not forgotten how to pray. Don't forget, they prayed, Acts 1, 14, they were 120. They were 3,000, Acts 2, 41, they still prayed, Acts 2, 42. 5,000 was added, Acts 4, 4. They still continue praying the same way, Acts 4, 31. Now, they now became thousands upon thousands upon thousands. It now got to a point, you say, well, it was when we were younger that we'd be praying like we are idiots. Now we have needs to meet, and now a man of God, they now have maybe, let's say, 10,000 members. You know, in those days, there was no figure called millions. It was thousands. So imagine if the church in Jerusalem was 20,000. When sometimes a whole city was 100,000, 50,000. They were now 20,000. And then there was now neglect of the widows' administration. And they now come and say, Talia has not eaten. Monsieur has not eaten. They say, I think we are missing something in the ministry. We have to be very inventive, you know. We have to develop some structure and all that. You know, you start thinking, our strategy in those days doesn't work again. Let's face facts. Let's face facts. We did that when we were campus, when we were doing BTC or TFC, or when we were doing, now things have changed. You know, we are in the social media era. There's that Instagram, Bodygram, Gram, and Time Bomb. They are all over the place. He said, it is not leasing. That is counting the cost. That is paying the price. It is not leasing. Do you know that the logical thing for them was to get more creative in how to distribute food? It's not leasing that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That is commitment. It's not leasing. They were just 12, maybe a few other guys. He said, look for among yourself some men of the word of good of God, full of the Holy Ghost, who may have fallen over this business. See one thing they did. They did not even alter the requirements. They said, even though we won't be the ones doing it, whoever you are going to choose will be just like us. That's why imagine among tens of thousands, they only picked 7. What a time will it have been to water down the standard and say, let's think about it very well. I mean, we're already 10,000. We don't have to stress ourselves. Why not let's have some younger guys? They are very zealous. Some guys are very intelligent. This guy works with Chase Manhattan Bank. That guy works for Wells Fargo. This one is a consultant for World Bank. These guys can handle these things. I mean, and the guy, you know, he loves scripture. He bought ox and the corn. He just bought greater glory. I mean, he's already showing love for the word. He goes on my Facebook every day. Make him a leader. No! 7 men. Honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. Verse 4. We'll give ourselves continually to what? Prayer. And to the ministry of the word. There is a price to pay. A price to pay. Never get to a point where there will be any activity in your ministry that does not require prayer. You can't sing here if you don't pray. I don't care if you have one good ultimate search, or get a talent, or last year you got an award. You have to sexual. I tell our leaders, never compromise your standard. It's all you have. Never. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't for growth. It's not every kind of growth that glorifies God. Don't compromise your standards. So people have blessed community. They say, I can't be a worker there. It's too intense. Let me ask you a question. Could they have been Jesus' disciples? No. Anyone that says what we do here is too intense could never follow Jesus. Could never follow Jesus. Or Paul. How do you want to do it? At each juncture, he will tell you, me first. At each juncture. At each time. He just called them. He didn't ask for their permission. He sent them to the cities. He didn't say, guys, think about it. Should we go? Should we? He just called them. Are you my disciples? Yeah. Now, he didn't tell them before. He said, I'm going to send you throughout the coast of Israel and Judea. If you have said, if you have told us, I was sensing it, I thought it was on Monday. I didn't know it was going to be Thursday. Oh, master, I really want to do this. In fact, when I was in secondary school, I knew I was going to go around like this. But sir, can I quickly just pick my bag? You just say, you're not fit. You know, you think that's a mean person. At least let me go home and pick my bag. Let me ask you. If he had called you for the same purpose and said, Chadu, Lord Jesus, I want to make you the governor of Lagos State. And I want you to resume now. Your official car is outside. He asked, will you say, let me go home for what? They will hear it in the news. So, Jesus was not harsh. He's only putting priority where it ought to be. Who's following? Let me say what I'm saying here. It's not harsh. No. So, the call to serve God is not like something, it's not a hobby. You're not trying to look at choices and say, okay, let me, no. I told you, diligence and faithfulness are different. Very different. Very different. So, sit down and count the cost. The cost of fasting every year in, year out. The cost of praying every day. If you're a woman, there'll be days where it will not be convenient. If you're a married woman, you probably have children. If you are this, there will be different things. If you are a man, there will be issues at your office. If you are a Nigerian, you have enough. Yes! Disciples don't give excuses. You just do it. You know, it's very easy to give Brotunde or Pastor James an excuse. And they will have a judgment. It's true, it's true, it's true. Don't forget, it's not about them. It's about Jesus. And Jesus knows. He knows what you are doing. I usually tell people, if a man doesn't see what is in your heart, God does. He knows you fooled that person. He knows that excuse was manufactured. That's where loyalty is. Is in the heart. Loyal men are 100% whatever they are doing. There was something I preached in the House of Living Stones, 1997. I said, it's time, 1997 December, it's time to walk, burn the bridges. That was the title. It's time to walk, burn the bridges. Make sure it is impossible for you to go back to some things again. Make it impossible. It's time to walk, burn the bridges. Fatuji asked me to repeat it again in March 1998. It's time to walk, burn the bridges. Make up your mind never to substitute for convenience. Look at the story of David. He had just killed Goliath. Oh, sorry, he had just killed the lion and the bear. And then he had Goliath.
And then his brother, of course, they had his own issues, so on and so forth. They took him to Saul. And Saul said, are you the young man that will give Goliath? I said, yes. And he said, okay, you know what? I'm okay. I mean, God is the miracle working God. But you know what? Let me give you my armor. And then he wore it. 1 Samuel 17. And he said, look, it was too heavy. He said, sir, I cannot go in this. I have not proven it. I can't do it. I can't go in this. I have not proven it. I can't build ministry on a media team. Or manipulating the media. I can't build ministry on that way. I can't start networking with people who compromise the gospel for popularity. I'm not used to it. I can't relate with a Christian that plays down on prayer. I can't do ministry that plays down on the purity of doctrine. I can't have a church because what people in church play down evangelism. Say, you know what? The truth of the matter is that not all of us are called to preach. The truth of the matter is some of us, it's just a matter of, you know, what God was using for. Brother Lewis, I can see that you're a Chelsea fan. And so, I didn't know on time. But let's leave that for another day. You know, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. I said, Brother Lewis, what I can say about you is that, you know, I discovered that in your follow-up, you're not really, you don't have disciples. I can observe. But, and Brother Lewis already complained about church. He said, disciple, being so. And he's feeling like, he has another church down the road, International Christian Center of the Nations, with a lot of flyers, a lot of meters and greeters at the door, smiling at brothers, you're welcome. Carpet, red carpet, blue carpet, and heavenly carpet. And they're coming to church. Then he's coming to a place, no AC, all fan. Even the fan is not, it's blowing, it's a heat con. The hair con is heat con. And they're still saying, where are the souls? What happened? Did you go over? Kill them! So he's complaining. And I know that he's a rich man. He has money in his pocket. I mean, when he gives offerings, it's not just an offering. It's a sin offering. It takes away the sin of the whole world, the death of the whole church. He starts to complain about prayer meetings. I said, we'll look into it. May it never happen in this ministry. We're going to look into you. May it never get to a point you'll be a pastor. You can't tell a backslider, open backslide! Hard rebuke. No, just sit down. We'll get to a point. Guy says, I'm just wondering the services, what can we do? No. It's a cost. Everybody that will follow Jesus will have to pay it. Power of God forever. Did you hear me? So the power of God forever. So when we sing those songs, your spirit in me, your power working me, mighty God, supernatural man, is more than a rhythm of songs. Oh, your spirit may fear here, rivers of joy. We are men of the world, we are men of the spirit, this is who we are. Prayer group. You won't be singing. This is who we are. And you came late for service. You didn't pray. We are men of the world. We are men of the... You think it's a choir, yes, sir? This is who we are. Many great supernatural. Glory of God. Glory of God. Miracle, what the power? There's a cost to that song. You know, there's fasting when you break at 12. With Eba. I remember a fasting I did a long time ago. I was still a student in secondary school. I would go to the butchery. I'll buy rice, yam, beans, dodo, egg. I'll put it in the locker. I'm looking at my wristwatch. Fasting!
We are men of the glory and joy. We cover the earth with His glory. Let's go out and preach. You think the earth is in this building? The earth, have you seen the earth before? We are praying one more hour. Why now? Did you say mama? He said mama.
There's a price for it. Unalloyed dedication.
Don't mix. In paying that price, you watch your relationships. I wrote this, that is an instruction of the Spirit of God. Hear this. Watch strained relationships that play down on God's power and ministry. Watch it. Watch it. Now exalt human wisdom above the wisdom of God. Play for me, we close. Make up your mind. How many of you have healed the sick before? Raise your hand. You've healed the sick. Raise your hand now. Put your hand down. God be with you with the Holy Ghost. You've done vigils, personal vigils, all night. You've gone on evangelism several hours. Raise your hand. Okay? You have fasted a week on your own before. All right. Keep that hand raised. When I'm going to ask you in 30 years' time, may you raise it like this in Jesus' name. Yeah. Well, you know the price? The price is heavy. But like Brother Hagin's wife will say, Aretha Hagin, the grace is greater than the price. It's greater than the price. I saw T.L. Losman. After many years, one day a man put me on the phone to talk to him. And so I said, sir, you've been a blessing to us. A model for me, word evangelism. I remember having to, again, get his book from Uncle's library, Vision 2020, read the first 1991, in Uncle's library. But precisely a brother, we worked together, Frank Akilapa, Babaji Akilapa, he formed African Invasion Mission. I was a part of that ministry then in 1994. That was where I was ordained in August. And we had this vision, we wanted to cover the 1/3 of Africa. If I remember that day, we had a 3-day fast and prayer at Lasu CF Secretariat, right in front of Lasu Ojo. We prayed, and I think we had another meeting at the Professor Lokmade's house or something, I've forgotten, and then the chapel. And he gave me another book, Out Where the Sinners Are. He's one of the people that birthed that global vision of evangelism in my heart in those days. Great man. He's gone to be the Lord now, but I'll never forget that association we had together. You know, and Charles Brown now said, what amazed me that he said on the phone, I'll never forget that, I've never said this before publicly. He said, he was right there, already aged. And he said, yes, I'm still trusting God to use me in many more places. And I pray He does. I asked the man that gave me, said, were you the one that spoke or he spoke? I said, no. He said, that is the grand old TL. He always still seeks for the Lord to use him. Ah. You know, there's some things you hear. You may not sleep overnight. Sleep overnight. If some things don't shake you again, you have lost it. If you hear about consecration, you don't fall down on your knees. You don't get to a point. You have consecration, say, hallelujah. Something has gone wrong. Life is life any day. It should hit you the same way. When I heard that from T.L. Osborne, I said, what a life. What a life given to the Lord.
how much more you and I.
TLS Bond served the Lord almost 70 years. He started ministry at age 15, and served the Lord almost 70 years consistently. Brother Hagin too, age 16, 69 years. Everyone had the price to pay. You can't do ministry, Lord Jesus Christ, without the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a price to pay. To always receive power from on high. To be endued with power from on high. To be filled with the Spirit all the time. To never rely on your oratory prowess when you are teaching and preaching. Tonight I'll talk more about that. You know how you used to trust the Holy Ghost in your evangelism? To say, to minister to people by the power of God. Follow people up by the Holy Ghost. It's not about writing reports. That's accountability. Before the report is the power. After the report is the power. Never, never play down on the power of God in ministry. It's all that you have. Hallelujah. Do you hear me tonight? Let us pray. More and more of you, Lord. I thirst for more and more of your grace. I thirst for more and more.